This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey. Want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour two of two. 10:02 on The Fan. On 3-2.
I like that.
Wouldn't that be something like hour two of 24? Like, it's hour two of 24 here on 1080 The Fan. 24 hours of live, nonstop coverage that nobody cares about.
I don't know. Remember the Fanathon? Or I forget what the name of it was.
Did they do that back then?
Yeah, with the... For a Special Olympics.
Well, that's cool. See, well, if it's a fundraiser, that's great. I'm talking about, I used to work for another station somewhere way far off, and they will remain nameless, but we did 24 hours of coverage leading up to certain events, like the start of a season for an NBA team or a college football team, so to speak.
Gotcha.
Exactly. Hey, you know what? It allowed me, I think the first time I ever got to host a show was 2 a.m. It was like a 2-6 or a 2-5 slot, and you got 20-year-old Jordan like, hey, I'm talking something.
If I'm hosting something at 2 a.m., it's going to be, you know, like Midnight Love or something like that. And then I get to use this voice.
There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I'm Rashad on the ones and twos, bringing you all the smooth R&B. Yesterday and today.
Ooh, I hope Boss Man was listening to that. You know, I know.
Man.
Yeah, Cooley's listening, man. Hey, man, if we ever get that late night, you know, R&B show, you got the voice right here, man.
There it is.
So we were talking about Joel Embiid just as we got ready to break. And there's some news that may or may not be true, but I think it's something that's out there. Joel Embiid is obviously going to miss the rest of the 24-25 season. And I don't have the number in front of me, but I know Joel Embiid has missed a lot of games. Do you know that number, Jordan?
I'll have to find it, but as far as this year,
he's played
less
like three games
than he's actually like been on the court.
Yeah. So, and throughout just the, since he was drafted, he's missed multiple seasons, like as far as just not playing at all. And now here he is again, and he's going to be out for the rest of the season?
Yeah, 19 games so far this season.
Played 19 games
out of 60, so a third.
Okay.
And then last season, played 39, 66, and 68. Those are great years. Those were actually his best years in 22 and 23.
And MVP in one of those, and should have won MVP when one of the other ones, but Jokic was.
But
amazing.
In 66 games, guys, it's honestly, like, if we're going to have an 82 game season, then the MVP should be in 80 games. Like, I know that there's that qualifier and it's the same for everybody, and I think it's like 60 games, but that's not enough in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not enough. Like, and we always go back to the old school guys that did it without trainers and did it without, you know, nutritionist and masseuse on the plane and private jets and all that stuff.
Well, some of
and,
them
and they were able to play, you know, 82 games.
I think of like that.
And really, I'll go back before that. I'm sorry, Jordan, not to cut
you're
you
good.
Off. I'll
My
go
bad.
Before that, but I was listening to Gilbert Arenas, who sometimes is absolutely asinine, but I was listening to him and he was talking about playing for the Wizards and not having a chef. He's like, we didn't get a chef until we went to Dallas and figured out, like, oh, shoot, like, other teams have, like, chefs and planes and all this other stuff. Like, and this was, mind you, this is mid-2000s, you know, at that point. And so this is really these amenities these guys get are some of the players in the early 2000s didn't have this, unless you're the Lakers, unless you're, you know, maybe the Celtics or something like that, but nobody else, or the Mavericks, who at that point, I think it was really Mark Cuban that starts saying, like, this is how you treat players. This is how you're supposed to do that stuff. And so they're able to kind of get those cool sports amenities that they get. So I'm with you, Jordan. I don't see how dudes are only playing 50 games, 60 games. Now, if you're Kawhi and you've had multiple knee injuries, like, I understand. But at the same time, pay this dude for – if you know you're only getting Kawhi for 60 games – why are you paying him for 82?
Well,
pay him for 60. I don't know why NBA teams don't do that. Like, seriously, if you're, I know I'm going to have you for 40 games.
Yeah. And someone else, some other team will pay
you. I'm
going
to have you for
40
games.
For
I know 60. You're
They'll
only going to be good for me for 40 to 45 games. Cool. I'm going to pay you for 40 to 45 games and the playoffs. Anything after that, like, cool. But, like, I think the reason people get so upset about load management, everything, is like, man, these dudes make millions and millions and millions of dollars to hoop. If we want to hoop right now, we got to either go to 24-hour fitness or Bally's or whoever has a gym.
And organize a game.
Pay money. Yeah. Pay money or monthly to be able to get in just to be able to hoop. Go to a park, something like that. Like, in most cases, we're paying to go play basketball. We're paying to be in a rec league or something like that. These dudes are getting paid to hoop and getting paid handsomely for it. And so I think as fans, we look at that and say, why can't you play back-to-back? Drexler never had a problem with this. Jordan never had a problem with this. Like,
he's 7 foot, man. The bodies are not meant to be that big, running that hard. I mean, I'm a Portland fan, so, I mean, we all know Portland's history, you know, injury history with big men. It's like, a lot of times, like, the human body's just not meant to sustain that type of, like, continued
wear and tear
at that level, I don't think. When you're 7 foot, 7 foot one, 7 foot two, I think, it's just like, they break down.
I think when you're certain guys, that's for sure the case, you know. But I think we've also seen a history of big men who have been really healthy throughout their career. Like, that's Shaq dealt with, like, and really it was a weight issue for Shaq, just being lazy and not working out. But he dealt with the toe. He dealt with the other little stuff. It wasn't until the end of his career he was like, okay, I'm pretty beat up. But we saw the Alonzo Mournings, and we saw the Patrick Ewings, and we saw all these guys still play through and play 82, you know, 82 games, 80, 75, somewhere around that games. And so it's hard to look at somebody like Embiid with all the talent in the world and all of the, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? All the luxuries, I guess, in the world as these athletes have. And
his life is the easiest it possibly could be. He has no challenges in life.
No, I mean, as far as we know, you know, as far as, like, personally, we have no idea what he's dealing with and everything. But from a basketball standpoint, you're right, Jordan.
Absolutely.
We have no worries.
If I came into this studio every single day and Jeff Austin had breakfast ready for me, he had prep for me laid out for the show, I didn't have to pick the topics.
I don't have to pick my workout
for me. Yeah, exactly. And then afterwards, I've got a nice little car to the gym. No, that times 1,000 is what guys like Joel Embiid have. And it's frustrating because you bring up other guys that actually had to play through real injuries, like Arvydas Sabonis, for instance. That dude was fighting to get onto the court 60 games a season.
First dude with double braces I ever seen.
And I'll never forget. I don't even have to look this up. I had this, like, Blazers yearbook or, you know, like, whatever it was from, like, the 2000-2001 season. Scottie Pippen, 82 games in that 99-2000 season for the Portland Trail Blazers.
Really?
He was, like, 34, 35 years old. He played in every single one. Bad Knees Steve Smith played in every single game for the Portland Trail Blazers for 2 seasons in a row. And then that next season after, Scottie Pippen played all 82. Damon Stoudemire played all 82. So you're telling me that these guys, and I look at Scottie as I think the biggest case here, and as an example that these players should look at and be ashamed of themselves by, because a 15-year vet is able to get in there and get like 7th or 8th or 9th in the Defensive Player of the Year voting awards at that point. Scottie was always a good defender, but for him to be on it for the entire season in his late 30s or his mid 30s, I can't remember exactly when he retired or how old he was, but it was probably mid 30s. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah,
get your asses out on the court.
I think the thing about it is, you know, I don't want to say those dudes love the game, because I do think those dudes love the game. And right now you can see there's certain dudes in the NBA that just love basketball. The biggest example is Kevin Durant. KD loves hoop so much. He don't want a girlfriend. He don't want a haircut. He don't want lotion. I don't care about none of that stuff. I just want to hoop. I don't care about...
Really? Those guys all put lotion on after the game.
Not KD. But it don't even matter, because that's not something he cares about. What he cares about is basketball, video games. Like, that's it. Smoke some weed here and there. But outside of that, like, KD don't care about nothing else but hoop. And I think that's an old school kind of mentality. Like, I don't want to be in a movie. I'm not trying to be in this. And right now you have a lot of young athletes that are already thinking about life after basketball as they're 22 years old.
Oh, like trying to build their brand.
Trying to build a brand and stuff like that. And now it's not like you used to have to be in LA and New York to be able to build a brand. And social media now, you can be Anthony Edwards in Minnesota and be the biggest face in the league. Like, so...
I think with KD, too, it's like he was on these super teams where you're not, like, the usage rate. Same with that 2000 Portland team. Like, that team was stacked. Are they playing the same minutes as some of these guys that they're getting? You know, they're riding some of these superstars today really hard. If you don't have 2-3 other superstars on the team, I bet you're doing an extra 5 to 10 minutes per game. You know what I mean? Where, like, KD always has 2 superstars. So I'm not, is he playing the same minutes?
But even still, like, when KD was in OKC and he was one of the two superstars, 38 minutes a game, you know, somewhere around there. Even still, we've never seen KD say, outside of the injury year, rest or game management, I'm not playing tonight. I'm not going to stay. How many games have we seen KD say, man, I'm just not feeling tonight. I'm taking a night off. He doesn't. If I can play, I'm going
to
play.
And how far do those teams play to the playoffs? It's like another half a season, 20 or 30 games.
That's also true.
Kevin Durant or a Scottie Pippen isn't missing time, and then they're playing another 20-plus games, which is
a quarter season,
40 to 45 minutes a game in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So, there's more to this Embiid situation, because the Sixers are talking possibly medical retirement. And we'll talk about what that looks like when we come back right here, Sports Sunday on the Fan. I love this record. Ice champ, build water. Ice, ice, yeah, Offset. Yeah, so is this a Ric Flair drip, is it?
The Amigos, yeah.
Yeah, is this Ric Flair drip?
It doesn't say on here, but I'm assuming it is.
Ric Flair drip, go woo on the chick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's dope. You know what I'm saying? Ric Flair, shout out to, oh man, I'm a big wrestling nerd. You guys know that. John Cena turned heel last night.
Oh, really?
The ultimate good guy did the Hulk Hogan and turned, well, when Hulk Hogan was cool, but turned bad last night.
Is he towards the end of his career?
This is like his farewell tour.
That's why they did
that. So, he's been waiting his whole career, and he finally got it, and I cannot wait to go to WrestleMania in April with my son now. All of a sudden, I saw that last night and said, oh, we're going. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Wait, so,
is that Vegas? Where you?
It's Vegas.
Nice.
420.
Nice.
So that's, you know, and I think 420 is Easter.
Huh. Oh, crazy day for that to fall on this year.
There we go. We'll take it though. Thank you, God. You know, so we get back to our Joel Embiid conversation, and it's being said that the Philadelphia 76ers are reportedly considering forcing Joel Embiid into medical retirement after this season's knee injury. Now people are like, kind of, what does this mean? It basically means that, and this is according to NBA insider Keith Smith, the procedure is following, and I'm going to read this. If the situation were presented itself, it would be up to an independent doctor selected by the league and the NBA Players Association to study his injuries and the forecast of his health in the future. If the doctor rules that he is no longer fit to play, they would nullify his contract, which would be removed from the Sixers payroll. That's the biggest thing. So I'm not sure if that means that Embiid will not be able to sign with another team. But it means that they would be able to get that money off of the books. And it's a lot of money. We just talked about Jeremy Grant and how crazy his contract was. Listen to the numbers for Joel Embiid over the next 3 years. And these are just estimates as well. We should hear that. $59 million, $59.5 million for next year. $64 million the year following. And then $69 million in the 28-29 season.
No athlete is worth that in singular salary alone. If that's like the total,
tell that to baseball.
Even Shohei Ohtani, guys, I was saying this years ago. Damian Lillard, best player in my opinion ever. I don't think he's worth $50, $60 million a year. In salary alone from a team, are you freaking kidding me?
If the check clears, man, I mean,
these numbers are going to start to hamstring teams, though, and I think we're starting to see the effects of, oh, let's just hand money out in the hopes to get a big name when actually now when the check has to be cashed, we're not getting what we paid for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a thing. And again, I think the Players Association, they got to figure this out. You know, they're going to have to look at this. And I think negotiations are next year. Are they this year or next year for the Players Association? One of those two. These huge contracts are starting to hamper the NBA. And then when you look at the fact that viewership is way down. Way down. And the All-Star games and stuff like that, which is the one time the NBA gets to present to an audience that may not watch basketball all the time, right? And this may just be a fringe thing, and I'm just watching it because my friends are doing it. It's the week after the Super Bowl. Like, this is really, if you're the NBA, the All-Star game is really your opportunity to shine. This is, look at our product. Look at our superstars, right? And they drop the ball every year. So now you think, and then nobody wants to watch a 48-minute three-point contest at this point. So I think you have a lot of people that... We talk all the time, Chris. You're like, did you watch the game? Like, no. F no. For what? I'm not watching.
Oh, I watched a Harlem Globetrotter win the slam dunk competition.
And that's what it feels like. It feels like we're watching Harlem Globetrotters games a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And so there's only a few teams in the league you can actually watch and see basketball being played. OKC being one of them. Cavaliers being one of them. Boston being one of them. The Nuggets being one of them. But outside of that, like, gets kind of sloppy. And so I think the NBA is really struggling. So are they going to be able to keep paying these guys $69 million?
Well, it's a self-imposed salary cap. There's nothing in, like, the Constitution saying they have to, like, they don't cap that in any other business. You know, if you have a science, if you're hiring scientists, you can pay all the scientists you want. You know what I mean? Like yes, it's hamstringing teams because of the rules they set up, but you don't have to do that. You could just have a salary cap, change the salary cap. Like, if I mean, they're not losing money. These are, like, smart businessmen.
If they're
paying these players, they're making more back. Like, they're definitely, they're cutting a profit.
So,
I get that. Like, they create their own rules. That's just in the contract, right, between the players and the owners. Like, you guys can change that. Like, raise it, eliminate it. I'm not saying that's the answer. I'm saying, like, if it's hamstringing teams where they can't function, then switch that, because that's a self-imposed kind of.
But can they?
I don't know.
I think that this has jumped the shark now, unfortunately, and players just, they're making too much money where they don't have to care anymore. And that money's basically guaranteed. And if you're, one of the top 30 players in the NBA, you're getting your bag and you don't give an S. And it's really frustrating to see, like, guys like Matisse Thybulle. I know he's not playing, but, like, a really good defensive effort player when he is in. He's like, not a starting 3-and-D guy, but he's a great off-the-bench 3-and-D guy.
Yep.
I think those guys should be worth like $20 million in today's NBA standards, but they're not. He's just getting 11. I mean, it's crazy to see still in 2025, we're seeing superstars get 70 mil and really good NBA players get like 10. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Just, you know, as we talk about Embiid, there's just a few guys that have been forced to retire. I'm not sure if their team actually forced them to do it, but they were forced to retire based on injuries. The one that was... that we know about an NBA team kind of forcing the player into retirement was Chris Bosh from the Miami Heat. So in 2015, 2016, he was diagnosed with blood clots in his lungs and obviously risking pulmonary embolism. So he was forced to retire a little bit early. Somebody like Gilbert Arenas dealt with some injuries, but Gilbert was just more of an idiot. you know, at that point. Remember the guns issue and or guns incident when he bought all the guns?
Javaris Crittenden, who is now in jail for murder.
Javaris Crittenden that's is one of those guys, you know, that's in jail for murder. Portland's own Brandon Roy. You know, and he didn't retire from us, but he was traded to the Milwaukee.
No, technically he did.
No, he did retire.
He medically retired, but then petitioned the NBA and
went to Minnesota.
Minnesota,
and he only played like a couple games, and you know, and that was kind of it. That one hurt. Brandon Roy is
some of the besides best
besides Rasheed Wallace is my favorite Blazer
for
of all time.
Yeah.
The things B. Roy could do, like, I know we love Dame. Brandon Roy was that dude, bro.
He's the most complete offensive player that I've ever seen.
Absolutely, and effortless.
Who said that?
Effortless.
Kobe said that. Kobe, who is the most skilled two guard of all time. And at that time in the NBA, there was three two guards that everybody considered the 1-2-3 in the league. Kobe, D. Wade, B. Roy. That's how it went. And when I think it was Ron Artest that was like, he's the best player I ever played against. Nobody's ever put 50 on me or something like that. So you had all these NBA guys, these great defenders and stuff that were like, nah, he's the one.
He was damn near ambidextrous. He'd go left, right equally. Like left hand was like
smooth,
was
finish
so
at the rim.
Cold.
And then his legs step back and everything that he would do is like,
one of the last great mid range jump shooters. For sure. Like that it was a valued shot.
Exactly.
It was going in. And so you look at the success like a Jimmy Butler has had in the league with the mid range shot. You look at the success SGA is having right now with that shot. Obviously, somebody like DeMar DeRozan. Like it was really guys like, you know, Carmelo and Roy that made that shot, like it's okay to still pull up for this, can finish over the top of you, could pass. Like B. Roy was the most complete player. I never felt like Dame was a complete, could play defense, could do everything. Like I never felt like Dame was a complete player. I felt like he was a great scorer, and I will always say that Damian Lillard is the greatest scorer that the Blazers have ever had. But as a player, Brandon Roy overall, nah, he was different.
I love that
he
team.
Was different.
Yeah,
like, I mean, it's just awesome. One. And mind you, Dame's only comparison in the NBA is Steph.
That's it.
And as Blazers, we've been really lucky to get that guy. It sounds weird, but like Jordan's only comparison in the league was Drexler. And I guess Dominique, because based on how Dominique could like kind of fly and everything. But Drexler was the only other person. And Jordan even mentioned it in The Last Dance. It was like, yeah, it bothered me. People mention me and Clyde as the same. It's like, why? Clyde got buckets. Clyde could defend. Clyde could, you know, block shots. You know, he could finish, he could dunk on you and do something real, some fillet over you. Like, Clyde was that dude. And so the Blazers keep getting these guys. We don't quite get Tim Duncan, but we got a Rasheed Wallace who can stretch the floor, is really one of the first stretch fours that we saw in the league besides Dirk. Like, so we've been able to get that guy all the time in Portland. And we'll see, you know, if that happens. But yes, the Sixers have some decisions to make. You know, do you get this money off your books? And I think they're looking at that saying, is it really worth keeping Embiid as talented as he is? Is it worth it?
Well, and to the fan text line's point, appreciate this from the 503, they did point out something that we were talking about in the last hour, which was salary aprons again. Remember, we're now in the apron system here in the NBA, so you essentially are locked into these guys, and if you want to get off of them, you have to get rid of them, and there's no, like, amnesty clause where you can separate salaries, you know, break up a one-year big $60 million salary into five separate payments, you know, and make it easier on your salary cap. You are locked into either dealing with these guys or just trying to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So they're forced to at this point, and it's a great point in response to what I was saying, that it's more than buyer's remorse. This is essentially a tax implication, and the aprons make it impossible to take on any more money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what the Sixers do. Again, big decisions to make, and especially when you're talking about a player like Joel Embiid. There's a lot of – this could be a domino effect. You know, we'll see there, because now with Embiid gone, what do you need Paul George for? You know, what do you need? I mean,
he's focusing on a championship in Philly, right?
You got Maxi. What does that do with him? And I'm not sure how many years he's got left in his young contract. Yeah. But, there's definitely some decisions to make if you were Philadelphia. So what do you say we switch gears a little bit?
Hell yeah.
Draft Combine was yesterday or this weekend. Don't know if anyone cares. But let's talk about some stuff anyway. Why not? That's coming up next right here on The Fan. First, Jordan Sports. 10:30 on the dot right here on Sports Sunday. It's always whenever football is involved, it is always king. It is always the top story on every single sports media outlet. And nothing different, even when there's no there's no football around, except for the NFL combine. But yet and still, football is still kind of dominating the news. We start with, really, we'll get to the combine, but we'll start with the fact that the 49ers have made a trade, and the trade market in the NFL is so weird right now because they've traded away their star, probably their star receiver, their star kind of tool, like multi-tooled player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, Deebo Samuels to a team that really didn't look like they needed much help in the Washington Commanders for a fifth-round pick. Am I bugging? But I feel like they just really did not like Deebo Samuel and just wanted to get rid of him because a fifth-rounder seems odd for a player of Deebo Samuel's caliber.
I would say some situations on both teams that make, first off, I agree that the NFL trade market has always seemed wacky to me. I don't really understand why certain, you know, draft picks, fourth, fifth, or sixth round are equated to said player. I feel like that is just off as far as my radar goes all the time. So to start this, I absolutely agree with you that, you know, looking at this, really, Deebo, fifth round pick? Like, he's worth at least a second. Like, I think that's what most fans think.
But third at the very worst.
You look into it a little bit further. I mean, Deebo Samuel, and once again, we're talking about salary cap implications, this time on the NFL side, which has a very hard salary cap, and they've had that in place for a long time. Parity's a thing, and you see big names leaving their teams that they've been successful with all the time. Now, he's only making, I think, in that new deal that he had first asked for a trade, like, a couple of years ago from the Niners for, and then got a new deal because of that ask. I think it's like 17 to 20 million or something like that.
17.55.
Yeah, and at a current wide receiver clip, that's actually not bad.
Right?
So you're basically, you're giving up, and you would think, oh, maybe, well, then there's a better reason to give them a better draft pick. You're giving up a cheaper wide receiver who's been successful on a Super Bowl competitive team. But then you really look at it, and Deebo's not their traditional wide receiver, right? You guys bring up, he's the Swiss Army knife. He's the guy that they use in multiple ways. He's not the wide receiver that's got a bunch of yards after catch. He's the wide receiver that essentially is kind of like a running back. Those are hard yards on his body. He's 29, right, but he's been fighting through a lot, you know, of NFL games as opposed to a little bit of an easier life for a receiver just catching the ball down
Absolutely.
The field. So that may be one reason why he's A, cheaper, and B, maybe given less of a designation as far as value for draft picks. And also, I think that Adam Peter, who is the general manager in Washington, who was with San Francisco, mind you, when they signed Deebo Samuel, he's the assistant GM, when they signed Deebo to that contract extension, this is just an example of a guy in Peter going with somebody that he thinks is going to be successful in Washington's scheme. And I'm not sure that I can argue with that. I mean, come on, after Jaden's rookie season, they do also have to fill some holes in Washington as well. I think they have like 28 free agents. So trading for a receiver with like three or four guys, like De'Ami Brown, Noah Brown, what's the Olcomatus Alka? I can't remember. It's like OA is his initials, and I can never remember his name correctly, but he like caught like three or four touchdowns for him this year. He's a free agent. I think outside of McLaurin and your tight end, you've got nobody.
Yeah, you got nobody.
So Samuel helps you fill up those corners.
And, you know, and this is why I kind of thought the market might be different for Deebo, is because he's a Swiss Army knife, because he can do multiple things, because if you need to line him up in the backfield, you can do that. If you need to line him up as a slot or as a number, even an X, you can absolutely do that, and no problem. And so that's a little weird. So I think that relationship in San Francisco has been over for a little bit. But one relationship that remains great in the NFL is Matt Stafford, because he is restructuring his deal to stay with the Rams.
Woo-hoo!
I know, Jordan, that makes you super, super happy. You get to keep your trigger, man.
I don't need to look at sexy Jimmy G sucking all season. I want them to go for another Super Bowl. Let's go, Matt.
Yeah, so I think that's huge, especially in that NFC West that continues to be competitive, even when teams aren't necessarily making it to the playoffs or Super Bowl.
Yep.
But Matt Stafford and the Rams had the best outing against Philadelphia.
Philly,
you know, of all the teams that they played, and I don't know if that's, you know, much of a feather in the cap. You lost the game, but still, you played them harder than definitely than the Chiefs did, for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, so you gave them a run for their money, and a lot of us kind of thought that the Rams potentially could have won that game and went on to the NFC Championship. But yeah, they get to keep their guy.
Yeah, and their window's still open. I think if you get rid of Stafford there, like, they still have a year or two they can compete. So, like, restructuring that and keeping him, like, that keeps them competitive for the next couple of years. I don't know what they would have done if he had left, but, yeah.
What's out there right now? What's out there? You said Jimmy G, potentially.
Well, he's their backup.
No, he's their backup.
They already said that they were willing to go with, and they were comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's a lie. He's no Stafford.
That's them just talking.
They could have gone for, like, Sam Darnold. I mean, there is a... I would say it's a little bit better of a quarterback market than initially looked at in the beginning of the offseason. You got Russell Wilson. You got Aaron Rodgers now. I mean, he did have, statistics-wise, he threw for almost 4,000 yards, had a good touchdown-to-interception ratio. Yeah. We'll see if he actually still has any in the tank. But there are probably two or three guys that could make a difference on a team. But then you're getting into the likes of Sam Darnold, Justin Fields. You're really starting to get
starting to reach
to, like, I don't know if this guy actually belongs in the league.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, you're getting the Aaron Rodgers experience with him. It's not just the player you're getting either. There's a lot of other, like, you know,
we'll say
things
his name
that go along with signing him.
We'll say his name and he appears, man. Aaron Rodgers is in conversations with the New York Giants. Then so the Giants and the Giants and Brian Daboll are talking about potentially taking on Aaron and, you know, the ayahuasca, and let's see what happens from there. I think the Giants are a dumpster fire, and I think Aaron Rodgers would fit right into the circus.
What would that do to his legacy if his last 2 years ended up being with, like, the Jets and the Giants? What do y'all think about that? Like, does that damage his legacy at all? Like, finishing that way, if he had another terrible season from the Jets to the Giants.
I don't think it does, only because dude's got like 3 MVP awards.
Yeah.
He's got a Super Bowl. He's went to a Super Bowl, you know, which is more than a lot of folks, more than the best quarterback in the league, Lamar Jackson, you know, can say, or,
it's,
you know,
true.
Yeah. So, I mean, just a while ago, but I don't know. I think his career at this point is solidified. I think the comparison he's always going to get is Brett Favre, and Brett Favre was at least successful once he left.
It's in Minnesota.
So he went to Minnesota and the Jets. And he was great in both places. And so I think when you look at that, and if he wasn't great at the Jets, if he's just as bad, if he's ass in New York, I think that'll be it for Aaron Rodgers. So we're looking at pretty much a farewell tour for him. And I think that's how he needs to go. If he really wants this season to end on a high note, regardless of how he plays, just consider this his farewell season. For sure. Like,
I mean,
whenever
he's 40.
Yeah. Right. And I think whenever you do that and you let people know that I'm going to retire, as opposed to people knocking Aaron down for how bad he's playing, you're going to get a lot of nostalgia based on the greatness that Aaron Rodgers. He's been, I mean, for the long time, he was the LeBron of the NFL. Like, he was just the best in the world. Regardless if he was winning, he wasn't winning, but you could show, you could see that he was that guy. So, yeah, we'll see how things go. They're just in talks for now, but usually, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And so we'll see what's up with that. And I guess last to wrap it up, combine talk, I guess. One name has come out of the combine this weekend as maybe the winner and kind of shot up a lot of people's boards. And it's somebody that I don't think any of us were thinking about. The Jordan, can take a guess?
What? No, maybe. Just get,
yeah. Chris? The Texas wideout? Was that
close. What's the one dude? Before I go there, what's the one receiver? Forgive me, I can't remember his name. He's a white dude, but he went through and he was catching the balls, and he didn't drop one of the balls as he was going through the
combine,
drill.
Yeah.
And he decided to keep the ball in his hand and caught another one, one-handed, and finished the drill. You're getting drafted. I know you made the mistake and didn't drop the ball, but the fact that you held on to it and then still caught the next one one-handed and finished the drill, that's going to earn him some draft points. But the name that's come out this weekend that's on a lot of analysts, you know, minds is Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart. And Jackson Dart apparently had a great day at the combine. He is Ole Miss's all-time leader in touchdown passes and yards. So he's clearly, you know, one of those ones in the SEC this past year. But I mean, honestly, I'm trying to figure out what you have to do to have a great combine.
Well, I think a lot, like, of, with the quarterbacks now, too, I didn't mean to cut you off. But
no,
like,
you're good.
A lot of times the top players that are going to the NFL that year don't even participate.
They don't do
anything.
They don't
do the drills.
We're,
you know,
finding out Cam Ward didn't participate in the throwing at the combine, which for me, as a quarterback, I don't understand how the NFL can't. If you're going to be drafted, what do you mean you're not working out at the combine? What are you talking about? You're going to do your own individual workout with your own receivers and everything? Like, no. Like, if you want to be drafted by us, you better come to the combine. Like, I've been so cloudy for years about how that would actually work.
I think the combine is, it's crazy though. It's the only sport where, like, they just go off raw metrics off of, like, yeah, track events. Where, like, any other sport, just look at the tape. Like, who cares? Like, remember the Kevin Durant thing when he came in the league and he couldn't do the one bench press? And mm-hmm. everybody's like, oh,
my God, man.
He can't. It's like, who cares? He's hooping. Like, and, you know, like, there's so much game film on these guys in college going to the NFL. Like, you think that would be more valuable, but they're looking at 40 times and shuttle and runs.
Things that will never, and no things other that will never matter yeah. when I play football.
And they should
no
test
pads.
Them. Yeah, they need them in pads.
That's
if,
no
if
pads.
They
That's
did
the biggest
combine
thing. There
in
it is.
Pads, exactly. I could take it there more it seriously. But outside of the bench and the 40, I'm like, eh, who cares?
So as a quarterback, I'm throwing with no pads on. I'm throwing with no pass rush. Yeah. I'm throwing with no DBs or receive or corners or anything out there. It's like
I don't care how far you can throw the ball naked or in your skin.
I'm just playing catch.
Seriously.
Come on.
We're just playing catch at this point. You know, like, so I feel like there are things, like, for offensive linemen, okay, bench press and, you know, all those things. Like, yes, this is a strength-based position.
Absolutely.
If you play offensive line and stuff. So I want to see how strong you are, but I don't need to see you. Make them race. If that's the case, man, line them up all and think, man, hey, man, we got 60 yards from here to there. Five of y'all are gonna race right now. Let's see who comes
each
in
other,
first.
Kind of.
Go.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna do this, like, make it worth something. Put some shoulder, at least some shoulder pads and helmets on everybody, because I can catch the ball no problem when I know there's nobody to come in to knock my head off. So give me some situations to at least some flags on them to where they have to be mindful and make football moves as they're going through these things, because I learned nothing from the combine.
Yeah, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
I learned
like people jump
the
their improve their draft position like drastically by doing a couple track events. It's not even the sport they're playing, so I never understood the combine.
It's a
at
hell
all.
Of a lot harder to run in pads.
The
I'll never forget this. In high school, I was coming back from an injury on my crappy freshman football team, and I went out just to like do calisthenics and run with the team when I wasn't in pads. They were all in pads, mm-hmm. and I'm not usually at the front of the pack. I was in the front of the pack because I didn't have pads.
Killing y'all, step up, fellas.
It makes like, come on,
absolutely.
It makes it much harder.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So maybe they'll change it. Probably not, because it works for the NFL. So, you know, the NFL is not going to change anything that still works. So we'll see. Coming up, we'll wrap the show up, and we'll talk about Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose potentially finally getting into the Hall of Fame. We'll talk about that as we wrap up Sports Saturday right here on 1080 The Fan. We wrap this thing up by talking about something that we should have been talking about a long time ago. It should have happened years ago, but for whatever reason, baseball is doing the baseball thing and they haven't. But number one, I'll start with saying this. I don't necessarily agree with our POTUS. Let's put that out there. You know what I mean? I'm not the biggest fan. We're not going to go super political today. But he did say something for once that I absolutely agree with. And that's the fact that Pete Rose should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago. And it's a shame because he's better than most of the guys that are already in there. Let's just call a spade a spade. Pete Rose was that dude when he was out there. They called him Charlie Hustle for a reason. If you don't know, if you're new to sports, Pete Rose was a great player and then became a manager. And when he was a manager, he was betting on baseball. And he was betting on his team. Not to lose, to win. You never bet on his team to lose.
Allegedly.
Believe him.
I
believe him. But either way.
Even the investigator, John Dowd, who led the Dowd investigation, said there was no evidence, but.
Well, even the problem with that, though, betting on you to win, they know when you're not betting on yourself to win. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it does give other people, still gives them insight into the, why aren't you betting on you to win
maybe
this
I
game?
Covered,
but you are
maybe
on
I
this
covered
game,
my bets.
You know?
I don't need to bet
well,
right now.
Possibly.
See, okay, I want to get at this, but like I've got like a 2-minute diatribe on it, so I want to let you finish.
I mean, we got like 9 left.
Well, okay, so I disagree with you. I don't think that Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. He's a great player. I say, you know, take him off the banned list if you want, but I don't think that he should be put into the Hall of Fame, and here's why. Pete Rose is an a-hole, and he continually lied time after time after time. He first said, never bet on baseball, ever. Then signed. He is banned, guys, because he agreed with Bart Giamatti to sign the piece of paper to say, all right, I'm banned. I think he was probably trying to avoid some legal implications. I think he had some tax issues at the time, so he was able to make a deal with that. But he signed that paper because he knew what he did and did not actually admit to betting on his team until 2004 in his book, like My Prison Behind Bars or whatever it was. I can't remember the title, but I read it at the time, and it was insightful. But I just don't think after time after time after time of being given the opportunity to actually own up to it. And then, I don't know if you guys remember this, in the early 2000s, Bud Selig, commissioner of baseball at the time, offered Rose a chance for reinstatement, but just insisted on some conditions, said that Pete Rose, he has to admit that he gambled on baseball at the time, make no casino appearances, and stop gambling. But he couldn't even do it.
Can't do that. If I told you right now, stop going to the casino, Jordan, would you do it? Stop gambling?
But if you asked me, Jordan, do that, that's and different. You will be enshrined into the MLB Hall of Fame, and you will be let back in, I think I could make a freaking sacrifice. Exactly. But this guy, sitting on his freaking high horse.
I get it. Yeah. And don't send him as a, don't send him as a coach. That's fine.
No,
and
don't send him as a player either, because there were issues that came out about him betting as a player.
And I think the thing is, you can't not let him in as a player. You couldn't, because how crazy would it be if you didn't let the NBA's all-time leading assist guy or scorer or blocks leader?
But what if they were Jontay Porter?
Exactly.
What if you're what if you lead four of those categories? What if you're all-time leader in assist and steals and blocks and free throws made?
But betting on your own sport, it just goes straight to the integrity of your sport. You know what I mean? You just you know that even as a gambler, that they tell you that. It's not like he didn't know.
No, for sure.
Like, bro, bet on anything else. You can hit the card tables, roulette. Dude, there's other ways. Bet on different sports.
I'm not saying he was wrong, but if I know my team is going to beat the S out of somebody and I can bet on it, then probably, I'm saying I would have done that, but I'm like, all right, I get that.
There's so many things to bet on.
But it's hard for me to keep the guy out that's, listen to this, number one in hits.
I get it.
Number one in singles.
We
number one in at-bats.
We know.
10 seasons with at least 200 hits or more. Only
number
him
one out.
And Ichiro have more. Only him and Ichiro or have that many.
He's
like,
cannot bet on your own sport, especially on your team. Like, right. It's so easy. It wasn't a surprise to him. He knew that before he did that, you know?
There's just so many layers to this. And when I read that Pete Rose lost near $500,000 in just a 3-month span while he was betting on baseball, and then I also hear on the other side that, oh no, I never bet on my own team to lose. So you're telling me that as a guy that got down on his losses, that's sitting there like, oh my God, I've had 20 bad games in a row. I know my pitchers are gassed tonight. You're telling me, and the other guy's coming in, and he's admitted he checked with other managers to hear about the health status of their players and pitchers before he placed their bets. You're telling me that he never sat there and was like, oh, you know what? I got to make up for this crappy loss that I've just had. Exactly. I need this $100,000 bad. I know my team's going to get their ass beat tonight and I'm going to bet on them, or I'm going to bet against them. You're telling me that that never happened. The implication being there alone.
Hey,
should keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
You said it was proved that he didn't bet on his own team.
There was no proof.
There's no proof. Well, hey.
But the head investigator, John Dowd, said he most likely did.
There's no proof.
Yeah. Well, it's the stupidest. He bet on his own sport. Like, who does that?
The glove
man?
Don't
like,
fit. You must have quit, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he should have called Johnny Cochran.
Glove don't fit.
Oh, my goodness. He bet on his own sport, on his own team.
I mean,
that tips people off. Like, you don't bet. If you're not doing that every single game, if you're not betting on your team every single game you play,
glove don't fit.
He admitted to that.
You must have quit.
I think the biggest thing above all the things that I just mentioned, guys, is that he went around talking openly about it with players and managers at the time. He's like, they got nothing on me. They can't get me. I hate that behavior. That's ass behavior. And people like that, whether in life or death, should not be rewarded. And I don't think him dying should change the standard for whether or not he should be allowed into something.
Well, I mean,
they're playing on the lifetime word. It doesn't matter.
Yes. Like, they should have let him in or not let him in, but his death shouldn't have changed the decision either way, right? Like, unless it, you know what I mean? Like,
it's been long enough. They gave Reggie Bush's Heisman back. They can let my man in the Hall of Fame.
Well, Reggie, there's a whole system of NIL happening now, man.
It wasn't just rent. Don't do that. It was so
money.
Yeah.
He didn't cheat. He didn't bet.
If baseball players were allowed to bet on games, hell, you know what? If baseball players were allowed to bet on other sports, then sure, let's let Pete Rose in. Let's bring him into the Hall of Fame. But you literally cannot bet. You're not allowed to bet on sports that you play in.
No.
You're not allowed to bet on the other sports either.
For good reason. Yeah. For good reason.
Ask Shohei's manager. Like, you don't bet on anything, man. Seriously. So, no, but I mean, I don't know. I feel a little different. It's hard for me just from a sports standpoint, from a player standpoint.
Absolutely.
Like, in no other sport would anybody that led that many categories be left out of the Hall of Fame. Like, and I understand, like, you're not putting him in as a manager, because you can go in as a manager as well. You can go in as I don't know, can you go in as like an owner? A general
you can
manager
go in,
like
yeah,
that?
An owner, yeah. You can go in as an announcer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, you can go in
as a team
player.
Dog, if you, yeah.
And I think as a coach, that's where he effed up, right? Is betting on your own team and betting on, or your team to lose or whatever. Hey, man, like, I think as a player, it's hard to keep somebody with that resume out.
It's sad. Like you said, all these statistical categories he leads, and like just self-destructed, you know? It's like a Greek tragedy almost, you know? This guy's like one of the best of all time and just couldn't help himself.
Appreciate the fan text line chiming in. Says you're both right. So sounds like I'd say both arguments have some merit.
No, absolutely. For sure. Like, it's as a coach, nah. As a manager, yeah, I'm sorry. You clearly broke the rules. There's nothing we can say about it. You will never be inducted into the Hall of Fame, regardless of how good you were. And how great was he as a manager? I can't really remember.
I don't think he didn't manage for more than, what, 3 or 4 seasons? Part of it was while he was still playing.
So we're not even, yeah.
Well, that's right.
Barely pinch hitting. He would insert himself in.
But
as a
number one,
hitter.
We know how hard it is to play. There's not a lot of ways you can cheat in baseball. There's not a lot of way. Like, I mean, there is. Don't get me wrong. Like, if you're a pitcher or you're something like that, but hitting, to be a hitter, like, you can't cheat. You can't fake being a great hitter. Like, there's nothing.
You can get signs. You can get a leg up.
You still got to hit it. Like, I can get signs all day, but if you can't swing at a fastball or you can't hit the curve, like, no matter how well I can read these signs, if I can't hit, I just can't hit. And he's the best ever at that. And so that's kind of the part that I'm like, man, basketball's about buckets. So it'd be crazy for me to keep somebody that's number one, number two, three all time out. And so football's touchdowns. Would we ever keep somebody that threw the third or fourth most touchdowns out of the Hall of Fame? Of course not.
It's unfortunate.
If they bet on the game, yes, we would keep them out.
Don't know.
But who else has been caught doing this?
Nobody.
Exactly. Because they know.
Technically, neither was he. So just saying.
I don't know.
I digress.
But Shoeless Joe ain't never going to be let in, so why should Pete Rose be let in?
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So, Chris, thank you so much.
Thank
man.
You guys for having me. It was,
I appreciate
it was
great. You, my guy. Absolutely. You're welcome to come in anytime.
Appreciate it.
We do this, man. Jordan, man, as always, appreciate you, my guy.
Love you guys. Absolutely. Love you all out there. Appreciate it. And I don't have feminine energy about Pete Rose to respond to the text line. I just don't think that a-holes
it's
should be rewarded.
Energy. It's all. Called energy, nonetheless. Exactly. But, man, I'm Rashad Taylor. This is my guy, Chris Harden. That's my man, Jordan Schultz. This is Sports Sunday. We will see y'all next week. Peace.